and welcome, everybody. This is Jacqueline Johnston, your host for You Awakening. And with us today, we have Bill Bellman, our special guest. And first, I'd really like to thank you for taking the time to be with us, whether you're listening with us now or listening later to a replay. Your participation is so important, so important. And it really helps set our programming, and you're very much part of us coming together as a group, which has really been my vision, to support one another. And we do this through the programming by having transformational leaders as guests to awaken, to inspire, and to empower. But we're really all in this together. And our topic this season is opening to oneness. And when I think about that, the best living example that comes to mind is Bill Bellman. I have known him for a number of years. It is such a joy and delight to be in his presence. His message sometimes sounds simple, maybe even plain, because it's so clearly spoken. So I invite you to listen to not just the words, which are from a place of deep wisdom and carry infinite grace. I invite you to make a connection through the heart and to feel the vibration as he shares with us today. Bill, thank you so much for being on the show. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Jacqueline. You are so kind, and those words are so sweet. I do want to say it is absolutely my pleasure, one, to reconnect with you and to partner with you in this. It's just a joy to have this little family reunion with you. It's fun. And two, to really, really join my heart with all of you. You who took time from your busy schedules to dial in here and to open your heart and to be a part of this. And so just please know that I am equally thrilled to have this moment with you. And I love, Jacqueline, the way you opened this up about how important each person is. And especially since this is all about awakening into oneness, to me, just, and this is just my own personal experience, I am aware from looking at everything through the eyes or the lens of oneness, that we all are one, and that in a larger sense, who I am is very much not just interconnected with and interwoven with who you are, but who I am is really a result of my connection with you. And so really, without you, I'm not nearly the me that I otherwise would be. So for this time together, I just want to invite us to really grasp and embrace both how important we are, but how much we, each of us, give to everybody else who's on this call, how much you give to Jacqueline, to me. It's that we're all in this together, and it's that we are really one, and we really are. I'm you and you're me. So thank you for having this time to celebrate that beautiful fact of life.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill. Can we begin by hearing a little bit of your personal story, and particularly how you awakened to oneness?
Oh, how sweet! Yes, I'd love to do that. I'm laughing anytime anybody asks me about my life. I notice I giggle for some reason. I think maybe it's because it's all been so absurd. I don't know. Anyway, it's cute. All of our lives are cute. Our stories are cute. So just ever so briefly, I just was born, as you may have guessed, since I'm here. I was born really quite fragile emotionally and energetically. I felt everything. I'm hyper attuned to people's energies. Subconsciously I tend to see gobs and gobs and gobs of things. And so I felt totally overwhelmed by the world, and I spent a lot of my childhood trying to survive that, and the rest of my life just trying to move beyond that kind of fear and terror to whatever the nature of my version of freedom would be. And so that took a religious path for a while. I was a Catholic priest for a little bit. It took a psychological path for quite a bit of time. I was a licensed psychologist with a doctorate in counseling psychology, and did all sorts of things, deep psychotherapy, et cetera, with people kind of going to the depths and depths and depths of what's human. And then of course, the whole spiritual realm opened to me and just like sucked me into it, if you will, and it was a very dramatic, strong kind of a thing. And so maybe here's my story of oneness. So first I moved into spirituality more through the world of energy. I was just fascinated with sort of astrophysics and how the universe worked and what the whole role of energy was and all of our chakras and our aura and, if you will, the whole energy field of life. And that drew me into the bigger energetic realm, if you will, in the multidimensional realm. So this was probably several years after my whole spiritual journey started, and I noticed myself getting really focused on this thing called oneness, and I didn't have much of a grasp of it from any angle, but somehow the whole energy of oneness just started to circle around me and call me. And the last thing I was expecting is what I'm about to share with you. And so this was, 23, 24 years ago. I was doing a weekend seminar. It was probably like a 3.5-day seminar. There were maybe 50, 60 people in the room. I was down to the last maybe 2 hours, and we were just going to take a last afternoon break. All of a sudden, my whole body started shivering, and it was just at the start of this break, and this weakness, this profound weakness, just came over me. And I remember turning to whoever was my assistant at the time and saying, by the way, I'm going to just lie down here on the stage, and if I don't get up, do something with them.
Carry on.
And so I lay down on the stage, and within, I'm guessing, a minute or two, whoever I was, well, first of all, my body went into this kind of semi-paralysis state, and everything slowed down to just barely existing, and my mind became neutral. All it could do is observe. It couldn't even think. And then a remarkable thing happened. Who I was left, just got, again, like I'll use the word suck again, like it got sucked out of me, and all my mind could do is just notice, gee, nobody's home. And my mind couldn't react to it. I mean, there was no human, if you will, to react to it. And I have no clue how long I stayed there. It could have been 10 seconds. It could have been 10 minutes. I truly don't know. But it was first of all, that was its own strange and remarkable experience. Then what happened at some point is something else entered in. And again, I my mind was not capable of thinking, so I couldn't interpret at all what that was. All I could do is observe it and notice it and begin to have the beginnings of a sensation or feeling of this. In hindsight, later, I realized, oh, my dualistic self, my regular human dualistic self left, and my unified self entered. So in one fell swoop, if you will, in one dramatic moment of my life, what had been happening for a few years, anyway, this gradual movement into oneness, it took a kind of a historic, certainly attention-getting, dramatic ceremony or ritual in which, poof, the duality left, oneness came. And since that time, I've had this privilege, I would love to call it, because it's purely done by grace, this privilege of being able to experience life from a unified perspective, from a unified set of feelings. My mind has become unified. My emotions have become unified. My body is unified. Everything in me and around me feels integrated, and all, to use regular human terms, all like working as a team. It's like, so we're into teamwork. And besides that being very, very, very strange, and, of course, humanly a bit embarrassing, I mean, you know, the workshop leader kind of almost dies on the stage. It's really...
I was wondering about your class.
I think I never asked, really, at the end. Because I was really there for a few hours before my body could even come back.
A privilege for that class to be in that energy, to be in that space.
Well, it was, yeah. It was a true rite of passage for me, and I do believe for all of us. There was a blessing attached there to everyone, and I guess the part I want to say about that experience is that while I can certainly jump into duality and certainly jump into, you know, the good and the bad and the right and the wrong and the fair and the unfair and all those pulls and tugs that we live with humanly, and I can jump into anybody's fears and pains and suffering and all that, and I do that on a daily basis, none of it grips me. And so the gift to me from this beautiful space of what scientists tend to call the unified field, or a grace and light, if you will, because to me the word light and the word unity are pretty much almost the same word. So the gift to me was freedom in relation to duality, so that not so that I could be absent from duality, but so that I could walk in it, walk through it, participate in it as a full participant. In other words, this is on the one hand graduation from duality, but on the other hand, the being given the right to come back into duality as a unified self and be able to serve duality in a way that that brings the benefits, the gifts, the grace-filled presence and blessings of unity into this space. And you asked me earlier, you know, just give you a one sentence snapshot of who I am, and that's kind of what I said. I think I said something like, really, who I am and all I am is just pretty much a translator. I'm just a translator of infinity into finiteness, divinity into humanness, oneness into duality, and then through the way I heartfully connect with whoever. Just those gifts just happen to be there and happen to flow. I think that's because oneness, and that's why I love your theme, Jacqueline. I just love it, awakening to oneness. And by the way, just in this, I want to invite all of us, just to whatever degree you feel like it and in whatever way you feel like it, all of us just to open our hearts to oneness just in this time. This is... On the one hand, yes, this is about me talking and perhaps saying something significant and important and inspiring. On the other hand, and this is really how I just show up to anything I'm involved in, on the other hand, this is our time to be together. This is our time to open to oneness and let the miracle of oneness do us, if you will. Let the gifts of oneness just enter us. Let our hearts be the receptor, if you will, the recipient, the intaker of, like we take in breath, so the intaker of just light, and let light bring that oneness into us, but perhaps not in a way as dramatic as my adorable little story there just a few minutes ago, but in a way that that is just particular to you, in a way that's just unique to you, just because you've got your person, your life, your identity, your path, and you wouldn't be a part of this moment if there wasn't in you some real big calling to oneness, to unity. So there is already in you an activated, unified self, a quality of oneness and integration within you that just moves you and is already moving you to your version, your style of integration, whether that's in your mind, whether that's in your emotions, whether that's in your body, whether that's in your energy field, whether that's just in the whole being of who you are. So please hear and feel my invitation, which I think is really our invitation together, because we're just in this moment. We're a unified family, if you will. We've come together to celebrate the miracle and the mystery of oneness as it lives everywhere in creation and beyond, and as it lives in you, and as it lives in me, and as it lives in us. So I'm inviting the magic of infinity to just dance, and inviting us to be open to it. So thank you so much, Jacqueline, for asking about that experience of my opening into oneness. It's given me an experience of duality that frankly lets me so appreciate duality, so love and honor duality, so appreciate the deeper, often hidden truths that are in duality, that are right under the nose of each of us, right before the eyes of each of us, but that most of us, because we feel more locked into duality, that we don't see or we don't notice. So a lot of times what I do is I just find myself, especially with people who say, oh, I'm suffering in this way, what's happening, what's going on? So I'm just able to translate it even verbally through the eyes of oneness in a way where they open their eyes and they say, oh, that's what's going on, because they were too locked up in the symptoms or in the pull and the hurt and the tug and the pain of it to see it. And then once they get clear about that, then the magic of oneness can come up and be the healing force or be the awakening force or be the aha-giving force or be the healing, nurturing force, if you will. So oneness is an enormous gift. I feel like it lives in each of us, and it just wants to make a bigger entry into our awareness. It wants to be a bigger facet of who we are on a daily basis. It wants to be the force behind the ways we love ourselves and love those around us. And also, I think it just wants to be a power. It wants to be the deepest power within us. I know for me, just in ways that I don't even think about anymore, it has become a power for enormous healing and for huge quantum leaps in the lives of people, simply because my oneness awakens their oneness. And oneness is the language of light. And when we open to oneness, we open to light. And light, of course, and think like Luke Skywalker with his lightsaber. light can do anything. You know, we think laser surgery, for example, and all the light therapies that we have in the more modern medical community and alternative healing community. Light is amazingly powerful, and it's as powerful in its invisible realm, in our experience of oneness, as it is in all those technologies that we have. So thank you for being a part of this light ceremony and this beautiful, beautiful time as we open our hearts together to oneness.
Bill, that was so beautifully conveyed. You know, in the words and in the energy and in the invitation, just beautiful. Just beautiful.
Thank you so much, Jacqueline.
I was just pausing for a moment. First, I have to say that I was very moved by what you just said, so I'm still kind of in that moment, in that
sure.
space, absorbing and integrating. And what I was thinking of was, I'm just wondering, I know that you and I have talked and we're going to have a meditation experience for everyone a little bit later. I was actually wondering, you know, how we could convey, and it actually to me is really experiential. So would it be too early to go into that meditation? Or do you have a way that you can create a bridge perhaps for us, you know, in our understanding too of, you know, saying a little bit more about, you know, what does it feel like to be in a state of oneness and to be negotiating, you know, our daily lives where we're living on a planet that's moving from the third dimension and a dualistic way of thinking and being and supporting the separateness and competition and limitation, et cetera,
sure,
making its transition and all of our transition into a more unified state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. What a beautiful question. And I think to me, Jacqueline, your question moves us to one of the deepest mysteries of the human experience and one of the strongest callings of it. So I would love to maybe do the bridge part of that now and move to the meditation at a little later point. And let me just say some things. First of all, this is just a perspective that I have. And of course, I present it to you not with a request that you buy into it, but just in whatever way it might speak to you. I think what a lot of us do, even in our more New Age spiritualities and New Thought spiritualities, is we really try to embrace the positive and get away from the negative. Or we try to reach for the good and avoid the bad. And so we in duality being good, bad, right, wrong, fair, unfair, etc., all those opposites, if you will, all those differences. What we do is we try to strive for one end of the spectrum and not get sucked into the other end of the spectrum. We want to be healthy, not sick. We want to be smart, not dumb. You know, all those kinds of things. We want to treat people with fairness and not unfairness. And on the one hand, those are beautiful, wonderful approaches. But from a oneness perspective, if I'm really going to be open to oneness, the path to oneness is usually through both sides of duality. So it's through the good and the bad, the positive and the negative, if you will. And that's something that while we all kind of know that, just historically we've together, even beautiful spiritual beings, we have unconsciously or subconsciously developed an approach to avoid or not deal with or try to escape the negative. Like, we don't want to be sick. We don't want to be judgmental. So we call ourselves away from being judgmental. And judgmental simply being one of those more negative kinds of approaches. So the point I want to make about that, and this is sometimes offensive to some people, so feel free to be offended if you would like. but the point I'd like to make is that it's sometimes, and I think often, if we are on a path to oneness, if life and our own soul seems to be calling us to oneness, it's sometimes very important to embrace the negative. To embrace the darkness, if you will. And I'm going to tell you a terrible story, and this will be perhaps on the one hand inspiring and perhaps on the other hand a bit terrifying. So it sounds like one of those warnings about movies. You know? Warning, adult content ahead. No, that's not true. In fact, this happened within days after the experience I just shared with you about my on-stage dramatic introduction into oneness. So just for a few days, I was in this amazing, amazing state of, let's just call it bliss. I mean, oneness up the wazoo. It was just grand. It was beautiful. And then a totally unpredictable thing happened, and that is I started feeling in my gut, in my core, what later I referred to as the primal scream of life. I started experiencing the collective human pain, collective human suffering. And at that, call it existential unconscious level of our, what Carl Jung would call the collective unconscious, our collective consciousness, I felt the horrific scream of that pain, that primal scream that just was the scream of suffering and the awfulness of suffering. And it grew and it grew. And within a week or so, it was I was like doubled over, not with physical pain, but with what some people would call psychic pain. And I, of course, major confusion right up front. What is this? And it took me about a year to really realize fully what that was. So here's the story. Here I had been given the gift to experience the unity of all creation. And if, in fact, I was going to become a master of unity or oneness, it was important for me to be one with everything, and specifically one with human pain and suffering. Now, human pain and suffering is something that most of us don't exactly jump up and down about and say, oh boy, I can't wait to jump into that. In fact, we tend to run the other way from that. We don't want it. And we've hurt ourselves, we've hurt our friends, we've hurt just about every 99.9% of anybody I've ever talked to is really not about embracing pain. But there it was. And of course, you know, I've been trained as a healer. I have gifts in healing. I gave that for that first year. I gave it every healing gift and power I ever had, and to no avail, because that pain was not there for healing. That pain, if it had a voice, was saying to me, no, just be one with us. So after about a year, so obviously that was what was happening anyway. It wouldn't go away. It was there, and I was one with it. So I decided after about a year, okay, I am totally going to embrace this pain because I really got it. And I did that, and I had no idea how long it would take for something to happen with that, and I didn't even know what. But it took 9 years. And it was a long 9 years, actually. And every day, every now and then, maybe once a month, I would get a day off. It was so wonderful. Oh, and that was leading my regular life out there, and still experiencing this beautiful oneness. But the oneness I was experiencing with our collective suffering was just pain. I experienced that pain graphically almost every day for 9 years. What happened at the end was, because it's always good to have an ending to a story, was that, and I noticed it about a year before it ended, I noticed some shifts and changes starting to happen. What happened was right before it went away, and it just went away, it started talking to me from inside. And it truly was, as I experienced it, the voice of our human family. And our human family said to me, thank you. Thank you, thank you. For embracing, unifying with, and becoming our pain. And then that voice said, you truly are now fully the embodiment of oneness, because you're one with us forever. And as the symptoms left, as the scream stopped, as the pain dissipated, and all went into neutral, I, and it's been true every day from that time, I am deeply one with the pain of human beings and the pain of life and the pain of creation. In a space of infinite love, I just love people and I love their pain. I know that's got to sound really strange. And I'm able to show up to their pain, their suffering in a way that's really about, I guess I want to call it my equivalent of divine love. So I can love somebody's suffering. I can love somebody's awful habits. I can love somebody's negativeness, if you will. It doesn't irritate me, it doesn't bother me. But what it does is it invites me to oneness. And so that's the next point I want to make about oneness is we do most of our healing either through consciousness, you know, our mind, if you will, even our subconscious mind, or through energy, if you will. Even modern Western medicine is very energy-oriented in its healing. And when we do that healing through oneness, not through consciousness, mind, not through energy, feeling, but when we do it through oneness, we do it through light, just pure light. And that light doesn't need healing rituals. That light doesn't need, what's a good word for that? It doesn't need our hard work. It doesn't need the intention of our mind. It doesn't need the movement of certain energies. It doesn't need me to massage or do body work with whatever that is. It just needs light. And when I as one, and I'm using me as a mirror of you, by the way, here, so that when you are one with your own pain, or when you are one with somebody else's pain, or when you are one with the pain of the world as you watch the news and watch about murders and wars and all the injustices of life, when you can be one with that in the deepest, purest way possible, then light all of a sudden gives itself permission to show up on the scene, and light just takes over. Again, back to Luke Skywalker, and light is a much more powerful healing, I'll use the word tool, but healing dynamic, healing richness, healing phenomenon than is energy, than is consciousness, because it precedes it. Like God, if I may use the word God, said, let there be light. And so the first expression of that essence that we call God into creation, the first rung of creation is light. And so light holds the divine power in a way that as light has moved itself into energy, moved itself into consciousness, moved itself into matter, etc., that of course all of divinity is still there and the power is still there, but light can do it without having to move it through energy, without having to move it through thought. And so the most powerful healing technique we've got is light, and we access it by being one. It's just amazing. I just last night finished a teleconference with a lot of the people who tend to gather around me, of people on my mailing list, and it was called The Power of Presence. It was a five-week, five-evening kind of a thing. The Power of Presence. And it's like, what happened? I think the subtitle was How to Show Up to What Is and Watch the Magic Unfold. And that subtitle kind of says it all. It's like, so it was really about inviting us to show up to, and I didn't language it this way to them necessarily, show up to what's good and what's bad, to show up to what's right and what's wrong, etc. And when we show up willing just to be present, which is just a fancy word for being one with, amazing things happen, and numbers of people wrote in emails about, just the kind of miracles that took over in their own bodies, took over in their lives, etc. So all of that said, I'm going to just say this as a conclusion. Wow, when we dare, and I use my personal story just as an example. But when we dare, and I know you're saying, 9 years? I have to go through something for 9 years? I'm not so sure about this. trust me, I'm a slow learner. You'd probably do it in 9 minutes. Really, let's face it. But my kind of ending commentary is this. With that story, just as a little bit of a mirror and just a little bit of a possible invitation, if it feels to you like it's got your name on it, when we show up, when we let ourselves be one with what is, in other words, for example, when instead of like, ooh, I don't want that, I don't like that, and we push something away, we look at it and we say, ooh, well, what if I was one with that? What if I was one with that? I'll tell you a story about somebody who was a part of this five-week thing, and she was going through what she called just the biggest fear panic attacks of her life. And got to the point just through being willing to show up to this horrible, horrible fear, where something clicked. Just with her being one with it long enough, something clicked in her, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, I don't care. And those were her three words. All of a sudden, oh, look, I'm afraid. Big deal. And all of a sudden, the fear lost its grip. And so it's like, oh, I don't care. And then I heard myself saying, wow, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful miracle, beautiful gift. Probably what will happen next over the days ahead is that the fear, because it's lost its grip, the fear doesn't have any function, and so it'll probably dissipate on its own. So the power of oneness is just remarkable. For most of us, the key, or the challenge, if you will, is our own willingness to show up to it. It's just plain old not easy to show up to things that we're afraid of, or that we think might hurt us, or that create discomfort in us. I know in my life, especially in my psychological years, because for whatever reason, the people who tended to get drawn to me for psychotherapy were, to use a crude term, the tough to impossible cases, if you will. and those who tried everything else and nothing's worked, and they come to me and they say, this one fellow actually did it. He said, I've tried X, Y, and Z. Nothing's worked. I'm totally depressed. I thought before I committed suicide, I'd give you a try. I thought, thank you. Very, very lovely. No pressure here. So my little story about that is that over and over again, when I took their journey with them down into their depths, and I got to that place where they were totally, totally, drastically stuck, and nothing that they had tried and nothing in the psychological realm of tools would do anything, I was deeply frustrated. But everything in me said, Bill, you have to show up to this. You can't just dismiss this person. Show up, be one with not just this frustration, be one with this person's stuckness, be one with the feelings of hopelessness within this person, be one with the whatever the dynamics are that will not speak and will not allow themselves to get broken through or transformed. And every time, without exception, when I said, okay, I will, and I did, and I just kept showing up and being one with all that, something miraculous happened. Whatever it was different for each person. The breakthrough happened, the healing happened, the whatever it was happened, and without fail. So it's my way of saying, wow. Oneness is an amazingly powerful, powerful way to live. And the way we do it is we're just open to it. Just whatever shows up on our plate. And for most of us, we don't have to go looking for something to be one with. It will find us. You know, our worst yes. fear, our worst nightmare, our most unfavored boss. they were like a magnet. They all know just the right something to put on our plate. So the key, I think, is look at that. And, of course, go through our first knee-jerk reaction, like, I really don't want this. Oh, this is awful. How do I get out of town? To go through that, but then look at it and say, wow. Am I called to oneness? Is that my soul's calling? And again, my sense is that you're here in this moment, listening to, engaging with, and partnering with Jacqueline and me in this moment because that is your soul's calling. And that's something like with me for those 9 years, nothing would let me escape that. I feel like if this is your path, and my guess is that it is, then these situations, these people will keep appearing to you until you say, okay, I will become one. In whatever way you do that, whether that's, okay, I'll show up to it, I'll be present to it, I'll move beyond my own judgments about it, I'll give myself permission to just feel scared while I'm present to whatever it is. And as you do that, step by step, and because the light of oneness has so many miracles, these don't have to be dragged out steps. But because of the miracle of grace and light, step by step, when you dare to be one with anything, whether outside of yourself or inside of yourself, like inside of yourself, when you dare to be one with that one something that has irritated you your whole life, bothered you your whole life, whatever it may be, something in your body perhaps, a physical symptom, an emotional whatever, a quote, bad habit that won't go away, just be one with it. Don't try to heal it. Don't try to change it. Don't try to transform it. Don't cuss it out. Just like you would say, okay, I'm going to be one with somebody. I'm going to open myself to friendship with somebody. You just show up and you let happen whatever happens. When you have the courage to do that, step by step, you start becoming friends with whatever it is. It starts feeling more user-friendly. And then it moves from user-friendly to friendship. It moves from friendship to, I'm beginning to feel what this is really like, or experience what this is like, or understand what this is really like. And in so doing, I start to merge with it, and it starts to merge with me, and I become what used to be my worst nightmare, but I become what in the middle of that nightmare is a huge, huge, huge gift to me. Huge gift to me. Because, and then this is my next and hopefully last statement about this, because the illusion of duality, the illusion of our belief in evil, the illusion of that whole mindset is that it's going to hurt us. The truth of duality is that hidden in the opposite that we're allergic to is an enormous gift. For example, in the middle of every fear that we may have is our deepest power. And we get to that power by walking into and through the fear. By becoming one with the fear, we become one with the power. As another example, any depression, sadness, grieving, emptiness within us houses our deepest, deepest capacity to love. And so when we're deeply sad, grieving, empty, depressed, in that almost bottomless feeling state of nothingness, if we're one with that, and again, we all want to run from it, but when we're one with it, we find the most amazing love that we could ever imagine. So the truth of our human duality is that we have set it up so that our greatest gifts are hidden. I mentioned when I was born being ultra, ultra, ultra sensitive. I felt everything, and therefore I felt daily overwhelmed. I felt terrified. I felt vulnerable. And life was an extremely, extremely scary space for me. And what I never realized until later was buried in the middle of that sensitivity is one of the most remarkable gifts that I would call the gift of oneness. I'm sensitive to everything because I'm already one with everything, and you may also already be one with everything, even though you're experiencing that oneness as fear or whatever. And so I rarely beg anybody to do anything, but I feel like getting dramatic with you, okay? So let me
go
be the voice, perhaps the voice of your own soul, and beg you to look at this calling to oneness that is yours, and listen in this moment to your soul saying, please, please, don't just look at this as a wonderful concept. Don't just look at this as, wow, that would be great to be there, a lovely ideal to pursue, a nice path to be on. Don't just look at this as an invitation for tomorrow or the next day. Look at this now as the in this moment invitation, inspiration. In this moment, there's the word again, begging. Please be willing. Be courageous enough to call yourself to be one with everything that you love and maybe everything that you hate. Be one with the positive, beautiful, happy end of the spectrum of life and the sad, grieving, messy parts of it. Because when you do that, no matter how long it takes or how short it takes, you open your heart to oneness and to its gifts. And one of the big gifts of oneness and of light is miracle. And that miracle can happen to you just because you've said yes to your soul. And Jacqueline, let me just turn this back over to you for a minute.
Wow. That's beautiful. One thought that did come up within 9 years is that there might be some people out there going, whoa, I'm not sure I'm ready for that. I've got a family. I've got a job. I've got to get my feet on the ground and dinner on the table. And
exactly. Yeah. Those are all the logical reasons to say no.
Mm-hmm.
All the practical, seemingly reality-based reasons to say no. I'm sure it's still comfort, but when I was going through that, I had a family too. I had a job to show up to. In fact, I'll say this. It was when my precious wife and I lived in Washington, D.C. Our son was in college at the time. And we started our own nonprofit organization called World Peace Institute. So we were working for world peace, and we did that in a way that was interestingly really about oneness. Our whole approach was based on what we called the consciousness of oneness, or the underlying oneness of our human family, regardless of our cultural differences, our racial differences, our governmental differences, our interpersonal differences. We're one. And it's so interesting that as I was suffering deeply with every human being, I was out there promoting that very oneness in our more global and personal and national and community and personal experience. So I really agree. It's the most natural thing that in our minds we would say, ooh, you know, probably not very workable. I'll save this for another day when, I'll take a rain check. Surely it'll be a sunnier day sometime. And that's fine. I think for the most part, our souls are extremely permissive, extremely loving, unconditionally loving. And if you say no, that's great. And so your soul says, it's all right. Trust me, I'll come back and invite you again. It's pretty, if that's your calling, and assume it is, it will come back. So it's okay. On the one hand, your soul may be begging you. On the other hand, your soul is even more realistic than your mind is. and your soul, like, really, really grasps. Being human, it's the best of times and the worst of times. It's a beautiful, beautiful existence. It's a tough existence. So your soul gets all those decisions. But if I would just add my own little addition to that, I guess I said that twice, add an addition, whatever that is. But if I would add a little something, I would say, yeah, give yourself permission to make whatever decision you want to make. And then maybe as you're doing that, ask yourself, which one way down deep do you really want to make, feel called to make, and feel destined to make? And then look at your decision through those eyes as well. And then, again, whatever you decide, hey, your soul is going to love you through it no matter what.
I believe our community is really about saying yes.
Mm-hmm.
I was just, when I heard the 9 years, and maybe it was me, and maybe it was me. let's cop to that. You know, I just wondered, in the sense of universal pain, I also had the sense, you know, Bill, you know, you're here for a very big mission. And, you know, I sense that yours is a universal mission. And, you know, if you look at all of your calling from being born a sensitive or an empath and going into the priesthood, going into counseling and, you know, in some of the more difficult situations, not looking for small adjustments in life, but like major turnarounds, you know, this has been your personal calling, your personal mission.
Yeah.
And I just sense, but you also came back and beautifully tied it together. I think it's, and the word that comes to mind is embrace.
Mm.
You know, to embrace our fear and in being willing to be in that for moments sometimes, and sometimes longer or sometimes repeatedly, you know, that doors begin to open. And, you know, that could be anger, that could be fear, that could be anxiety, that could be, you know, whatever that we turn to call, quote, unquote, negative emotions, negative experiences. But I think that that, and I get the word breathed, too, that suddenly just popped into mind. If we kind of breathe into it, lean into it, be one with it, and embrace it to the best of our ability, you know, at any moment in time, it starts to all give way, to open up, to allow the space of the light, you know, to come in. The light, as you used the expression, the light to come in, the magic to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You have such beautiful, profound, you know, enormous offerings.
Mm. Thank you. And thank you.
And I just have
words.
To say to the.
Go ahead. No. Well, okay. I want to thank you for your words. The whole way you just took everything that I was saying and that we were munching on, if you will, and just helped us digest that, especially you know, with that whole word embrace. I think that you captured the whole spirit of it, not just conceptually but energetically. I just really want to thank you. That was a beautiful gift to us, just everything you said.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, you've certainly been a guiding light in my life, and I am so thrilled to have you join us.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure. And it's like so cool to just connect with you again. It's been a while.
It has. I'm wondering if now would be a good time to offer that meditation, and do you think so? Do you think now is
the moment? Sure, it sounds perfect to me, just perfect. I would love that, and I would be honored to lead it. You want me to just take over from here, or would you like to?
Please.
Okay, good. And just as we do start this time, maybe just a 10-minute time together, may I just really thank you, each of you, but so I'm talking to you personally. I want to thank you for being human, for being three-dimensional, for being dualistic. I want to thank you for taking a vast being before you took on a body. Taking the vast being that you are, which by nature was and still is a being of enormous light, where you truly were and still are one with, unified with everything, all creation. And choosing to come into a world where we really specialize in separation, where we, even though, according to both modern science and ancient spiritualities, separation and duality is all an illusion, you chose nonetheless to come into this illusory space. And you chose to bring your unified self here and become, to whatever degree, temporarily ignorant of that unity, so that you could be on this path to oneness. I feel like one of the reasons I felt moved to share that 9-year story with you, and you're right, it's the 9 years that grabs.
Well, you're also a pioneer, Bill. You've really led us, and you've been part of the change that's come to this planet.
Yeah, that's
true. You know,
that's
because
really
you came first, it's easier for the rest of us.
It's really true. In fact, just as an aside, as I have had the privilege of leading so many people through that same transformational leap into oneness, there's not a one of them that it takes 9 years. And it sometimes happens in an afternoon. And you're right. That's really true. The old pioneer thing. So if I may, I'd like to lead us in a little ceremony of awakening into oneness. And that's why, again, I want to thank Jacqueline for even the title of this series. Oh my gosh, it's just perfect. So just be right now, if you will. Just be. You don't need to be anything. You don't need to be yourself. You don't need to be human. You don't need to be divine. You just are. You just are. And so if you're a visualizer, you can just sort of picture yourself as this kind of essence, just kind of floating around, just being. Maybe no substance to you, no body, you just are. And then when you feel ready, notice that just almost as the first layer of clothes on this being, this essence that you are, that you are light. And of course we all know that we are beings of light, light beings. And just notice the light that forms around this essence. And you are this presence now of light. And just notice again what that looks like, what that feels like, what that seems like, just intuitively or instinctively, what that is experienced like, to be light. And right now you are just light. Essence with the clothes of light. Still, if I put my hand onto you, it would go right through, because at this point there's no substance of you. It's just you being, and then you being light. And then whenever you feel ready, let's take that the next step. Here you are, being, clothed in light. And we're just going to experience and watch that light morph. That light all of a sudden creates itself into love. Love. And notice in your own way, because love isn't a very visible kind of thing, notice that you are becoming love. Love is the flavor of your light. Like ice cream has so many flavors. And this unique flavor of light that you are, that we call love, is a remarkable flavor. It's a flavor that carries the oneness of light into the world that is about to get created around it. So that as you move from light to energy energy to consciousness, consciousness to physicality, that love goes with you. And that love remembers light, remembers oneness, remembers being, remembers divinity. That love, which lives magnetically in your physical heart, etheric heart, chakraed heart, and sacred heart, that love carries in it and with it that very oneness. And just in these moments, the gift that is here is that that love is about to awaken or reawaken within you the light of oneness, the beautiful, divine, pure, immensely sacred light of unity. So that as you now sit not just in your being or essence, not just in your light, but in your love and then in your energy, the whole energied self that you are, including your emotions, including your feelings, including the whole vibratory resonance of your body, as you're in that energy, that love pulsates its radiant flavor of unity into every invisible strand of your energy. And as you are in your consciousness, your human, conscious, subconscious, unconscious mind, in the system of awareness or thinking or wisdom or knowing that is yours, notice as you just move up and down the ladder of your conscious, subconscious, unconscious self, just notice how that love moves with you, pulsates with you, goes with you, how that love infuses its deliciousness into your mind, into your conscious cognitive mind, into what some people call your emotional or heart-centered mind, into what some people call your primal intelligence or your gut-level mind or your unconscious mind, into your body mind. Notice the love, the very same love that for 9 years I poured into oneness with human pain. The love that's there, whether we know it or not, are connected to it or not. But notice that that love, which is the infinite you, that love, all-powerful, is infusing itself into every facet of your knowing and does so every minute of every day. Can you see it, feel it, know it, intuit it, sense it, be with it? Love. You are love. And that love, as you notice your physical self, notice the physicality, the three-dimensional substance, the earth or Gaia quality of elemental earth, air, fire, water substance that you are. As that body of yours is the ground of your light, the ground of your being, the ground of your love, the ground of your energy, the ground of your intelligence, because it holds it just like the earth is the ground of every plant and the root of every flower and the root of every vegetable that is ever grown. That ground gives its own nutrients to those roots. And this ground of Gaia, of earth, of universe, that is your body, is flooded with love because it is love that through this body gives itself to the daily and by the minute and by the second production of life force, of vitality, of health that moves from this earth, from this universe, from this infinity into you, and love moves that life force. And love in this very moment, with you, in you, through you, around you, about you, love in this moment, in your heart, is saying, and watch this, as I open the treasure chest of your heart, where oneness, your historical oneness, your genetic oneness, your perennial, endless oneness lives. And as the lid is off of the treasure chest of your heart, you watch that oneness peek out, look out, come out, look around. That oneness looks at your love, looks at your energy, looks at your consciousness, looks at your body, and looks at you right in the eye and says, I'm you. And I'm here to become you. Now, right now. And I just let my light infuse itself gently, gently and tenderly, softly and lovingly, into your cells, your atoms, your subatomic particles, into your organs, your nervous system, your bloodstream. I give my light anew into your brain to help the neuronic ways in which your brain brings light into thought, to help your brain create thoughts that have a quality of me unity. I give I your oneness. I give my light into your energy, into your chakras, into your aura, into your magnetic, vibratory, resonating, alive feelings. And love will keep me, oneness, alive there. See me, notice me, and as you're drinking me in, know, please know, that above all, I love you. And my love will create the miracle of your being one in exactly your way, when and how it is perfect. I, the oneness of your heart, welcome me into you and welcome you into me now. And as we complete this special moment together, and as I am about to stop talking directly to you, please know that I'm always here. Come to me in your heart. Visit me. And just sit in my space. And as you do, I will bring me to you in ways that will start us on an adventure that will have no end. Thank you so much.
So I'm giving everyone a moment, including myself,
yes,
to take that in. To really feel the power of your words, the power and beauty of your presence. Whew. So you've already given us so much. Is there anything that you would like to say in closing?
Wow. Well, actually, just in terms of what I feel like we came together for, that feels... I'm going to use the word complete. Of course, nothing's ever really complete. It keeps going on and on. There's always a little more in our reserve tank that tomorrow and the next day will continue to be a blessing from this. But no, I don't feel like there's any other message. I guess two things do come to me that I would like to say at the end. One, of course, I've already said, but I really want to say it again. Just an enormous thank you. Just really, really thank you for being you. And you know, we don't often look at ourselves and thank ourselves for being, in a sense, the hero of our own movie in life. But please know that I'm thanking you for that, and I'm thanking you for the ways you've even just put one foot in front of the other on a daily basis and been so loyal and true to who you are and just being, in my view, just a beautiful radiance that so gorgeously reflects the divinity that is splashed all around this earth. And you just by being you, make this planet such a much more delicious meal to taste. So thank you for that. The second thing is, and it's one of the gifts of oneness, I think, is that I feel like saying this. I usually say this to people who know me well, but I really feel like saying it to you. my jokey way of saying it is, my spirit is much more powerful than my cute little human presence. But in oneness, I really offer my spirit to be with you. And to be with you as a support, to be with you as an empowerment, to in no way interfere with or take away from anything that is your power, your life, your boundaries, but just to love you, bless you, and support you in extra measure as you walk through every day of your life. So just please know that my own blessing is not just with you now, but for as long as you might want that, in a way that, from a light and oneness point of view, is absolutely real.
And I just need to say, or wish to say right now in this moment, besides just a very deep expression of gratitude, is that, you know, Bill and I have known each other for quite a long time. We haven't seen each other recently, yet he always stands out as kind of a North Star for me. Just kind of tuning in and feeling kind of that peace, that oneness that allows me to come back home to myself. And there's really no greater gift. And, you know, this show began last fall, but it really is, you know, this is the moment that I felt like we were all forming as community and opening and ready for the tremendous gift that Bill can bring and continues to bring. And, well, my heart's full.
Sweet. And so is mine, Jacqueline. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And on behalf of all of us, I really want to thank you, not just for the inspiration of and the hard work in really offering this and doing this and being the huge force behind this gift to all of us, but for the way that this is an outgrowth and an expression of the way you lead your life you really are just a beautiful, beautiful embodiment and model of pure love and of surrender to love and truth in the biggest way possible. And I just really, on behalf of all of us, want to honor you as a way of, I think, expressing both from us and from all of life how grateful we are that you are this angel in our lives. Thank you, Jacqueline.
Thank you, Bill. That really touches me deeply. So it's that time. We're at a wrap. We've had a wonderful experience together. Bill, you know I love you and so much appreciate you. I'm so thankful for you being here with us. And to all of our listeners, to all of this beautiful community, I also share that love and appreciation for your presence. You know, and please know you help form, you know, all that we offer here, you know, through your feedback as well as your love, your commitment to time, your generosity of being. We're forming this together as we go, as we make this journey into oneness, personally and collectively. So, you know, with deep love and deep gratitude, thank you, and until our next show, thank you.